welcome the interim board of BRASA. We were looking forward to you last week, but unfortunately you didn't come. But it's better that we are here today and talking to the issues than when we don't talk to the issues. Also, welcome the acting group CEO and your team from BRASA, functionaries from the Department of Transport, you also welcome. And the media and the public at large, you really welcomed. I think probably people would know that BRASA has been one of those state-owned enterprises that in this portfolio committee will always say there has been challenges that we will engage with BRASA on a number of occasions. It's even worse this year that your annual report didn't arrive on time. I don't know if it has arrived in the precincts of Parliament so that the speaker can be able to refer it to the portfolio committee. BRASA has been very challenged with a number of things. And as we were talking to the minister last week, he indicated that there are several investigations that are going on in BRASA, and we believe that those investigations will really come to finality so that we're able to know your way forward as an entity and how we deal with the issues in this portfolio committee. I need to hasten that at some stages. With the previous board, we had reached a situation where we're saying we will agree to all the budgets of every entity but BRASA, because it doesn't look like we are agreeing in terms of how things are unfolding in BRASA. And I don't want to waste a lot of time, because we definitely, members, would want to engage more and intensely with yourself. Let me quickly introduce the honorable members of the portfolio committee. I am Dikeledi Magadzi, the chairperson of the board of this portfolio committee. Just next to me here, is Honorable Khadebe. He is the other one. Maybe raise your hand. Good. Is Honorable Sibande. And next to Honorable Sibande is Honorable Mbanza. Behind Honorable Sibande is Honorable Humsinga. And we are awaiting Honorable Mazama Tlakana, N1, there was an accident and he was held up on N1. He will be arriving soon because he indicated that he has passed the area where there was an accident. We will introduce him when he does arrive. Without much ado, Madam Chairperson, okay? Honorable Singer.
Thank you, Chair, and I really apologize for interrupting the proceedings with another matter, and also apologies to my colleagues, but I followed up on the progress around the public participation process with R2, and it seems like a majority of the provinces have not even had a briefing opportunity, and I know that we are rather under pressure for this very important piece of legislation to get approved ASAP. And to also make sure that it's a proper piece of legislation. So therefore there's a whole lot of issues that still need to be sorted out. And now I would also just beg for your consideration then, so that we can have a short discussion on the progress in each of the provinces. I know it's not our mandate, but we certainly need to be responsible about this and can't afford any delays on this very important issue. But I have then realized in just a short investigation, if you like, that the majority of provinces haven't even had a briefing on this. Thank you, Chair.
If you can enlighten me, maybe it's because it's a Black Friday today. What has ARTO to do with Prasa?
Chair, you might recall that in my introduction I apologized for raising another matter which is not on the agenda today, but because of the importance of this, I regarded that you would consider this as an important aspect unless I'm mistaken under that impression.
Can we deal with it once we have finished with issues that emanate from Brasa?
Certainly, Chair, that was my recommendation.
Thank you very much. We'll add it as an agenda item once we finish with Brasa. Honorable Ramatlakana has just arrived. And as I was introducing honorable members to the interim board of Brasa, I indicated that you will be arriving soon. You arrived by raising your hand. What's the issue? Honorable Banner.
Chair, no, I just want to request to be excused once we have a quorum. As I have indicated to you, I'm double parked. I will just cross over, go to the audit committee for them to correct and then come back.
Honorable Ramatlaka.
No, Chair, I'm sorry and I apologize for arriving and then raising my hand. My apology. I was just attracted by a new item on the agenda that I don't know whether we're going to have the time for that if the meeting is scheduled until 12. I'm wondering whether there shouldn't be, if we're having a meeting next week, that item should not be part of the agenda of the next meeting rather than here. I'm not sure. I hate that we will put on the agenda when you get there with another time and we don't discuss it.
My thinking is that the honorable member will just inform us for information. We will not even discuss it. And then we are able to say how will we take it going forward. And probably that will be something that we can put in the next week's agenda. Thank you very much for disrupting what I was doing. Judge, chairperson of the interim board of Brasa has been appointed as the judge of Gauteng, and probably you're leaving 1st of January?
Okay.
If you can just switch on there when you speak.
Yes, I think I need orientation. I need orientation. Myself and here, what to press, where, and what not.
Okay. I apologize because the committee secretary was supposed to do that. Even the functionary from the department, were supposed to do that. And they didn't do that. I wanted to say, Judge, you are welcomed. You will introduce your team. And once you have introduced your team from Brasa, then you can continue. We have requested you to come and explain ATNS, which is another state-owned entity, was here last week to explain the reason why their annual report did not serve. So was SAMHSA. They explained and we made sure that we put that as part of the report as it went to Parliament, and the discussions in Parliament were yesterday. But unfortunately, we couldn't get your reasons why your annual report is not in Parliament, which actually is making our work now to be delayed in terms of how we deal with the annual reports, because this is the season where we're dealing with the annual report. Madam, I'm giving it to you.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, I have been, I heard that the Honorable President has, of the Republic has approved the JSC's recommendation that I, amongst others, be appointed as judges of various courts, but the appointment will be with effect from 1 January. So for all intents and purposes, I am still an advocate, and my name is Advocate T.A.N. Makubele SC, until I receive a letter of appointment from the president. My team here, as you will recall, we as the interim board was appointed with effect from 19 October 2017. I'll just introduce my board members here. On my right is Professor John Maduleke. You can raise your hand so they can see you. On my left is Dr. Kieper. Raise your hand. And to her left is Mr. M.G. Maduleke. We also have members who are not here. Ms. Reddy, she has asked that we convey her apology. I don't know whether we have to come, all of us, but my understanding is sometimes we'll only delegate one or two members to come and brief you on the issues that you want. There's also a representative from SALGA. He is not here. Mr. Tolile George. There's also a representative of the National Treasury who is here to join us. We are today accompanied by the team, management team. There's Mr. Zide. I think they know you, but I don't know if they know you, so you can raise your hand. There's the acting CFO, let's say. That is the team before you, Honorable Chairperson and members. The first thing that I wish to do is to inquire if you did receive my letter. In it, we have attached several annexes, but the most important part of this letter is the apology that we wish to reiterate for not coming on 14 November 2017. Just to again offer that apology, we met for the first time as the interim board on 30 October 2017. The invitation from this committee came 2 days later, and as you can imagine, we wanted to understand what it's all about. We ourselves are still in a mode where we are still asking questions to be appraised about the state of affairs at the entity. We then requested the Minister of Transport, Honorable Mashangani, to extend the apology, but when I read the letter, it appears the written explanation from the Honorable Minister came after he appeared before you. But as he explained, we told him beforehand that we are unable to honor the invitation, not because we do not want to, but because the issues raised would require us to first familiarize ourselves with the information that's been provided to us, and which we are
constantly requesting to be able to come and make meaningful representations and answer questions and not appear to be making excuses. When we received this invitation, calling us to come here today, we thought it fit that we must not just send a letter to explain what we still want to do, but we must come and answer the questions to satisfy yourself that indeed the interim board is comprised of human beings. We are here, Honorable Magasi. That's the first thing that I wanted to convey. And we are in your hands. I do not know if you want me to go through the issues that you wanted us to come and explain, or if you are going to lead me, then I answer.
Advocate, you are welcome to go through the issues that we requested you to come and explain to the portfolio committee.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. In the letter that I've referred to, from me, page 2, 3.1, we say reasons for late submission of the 2016-17 annual report. I will not go through the letter point by point because I know you already have it, but the most important thing that I need to highlight is the fact that we as the board, when we assumed office, one of the issues that we were appraised about is the fact that this report is outstanding, and that in terms of Section 65 of the Public Finance Management Act, the executive authority, which is the minister, has requested, as he is obliged to do, or rather explained to Parliament the reasons why PRASA would not be able to, or has not at that stage submitted the report, its report, to enable him to come and account to Parliament. This letter is dated 28 September 2017 from Honorable M.J. Mashangani, MP, directed to Ms. Valeka Mbete, MP. In the document before you, it's marked Annex TAN1. In paragraph 2, he says, I'm quoting, there's a delay in the finalization of the annual financial statement and the audit report. The Auditor General of South Africa is still seeking legal opinion on Section 49(2)(b) of the PFMA to determine if the acting group chief executive officer can accept the audit report as the accounting authority in the absence of the board. Once the AG is satisfied with the interpretation of Section 49(2)(b), the final report will be issued. Subsequent to that letter, Chairperson, the development that I can report now is that before the minister wrote that letter to Parliament, just to put the issues in a proper context, you will recall that at some point the PRASA board was incorrect.
that board on 31 May 2017 submitted draft annual financial statement to the AG as required by the PFMA. We have attached that letter as Annex 2. It's dated 31 May 2017 under the hand of the Dr. Bopong Lefe and the acting group CEO, Mr. Lindikaya Zide, directed to the Auditor General. Then on 2 June 2017, the AG acknowledged receipt of those draft annual financial statements and confirmed that it will proceed with the audit of PRASA. We have attached that letter, Annex 3, TAN 3. The AG then had a change of mind or heart. They advised PRASA on 21 July 2017 that they were withdrawing their engagement with PRASA. That letter is Annex TAN 4. The reason is indicated in that letter from the AG. The reason is because the AG says the report must be approved by a duly constituted board. And according to the AG, because this matter has remained unresolved, he is withdrawing his audit team from the engagement until the matter of the board is resolved. That's July. You will also recall, Honorable Chairperson and members, that the term of the board ended on 31 July 2017. Then, in terms of the Section 49 of the Public Finance Management Act, the AG may deem the an officer of an entity and executive authority. The issue that had then to be resolved was whether or there was confusion as to whether that deeming is automatic or there are some processes that should be followed. When we assumed office at the end of October, we were at that stage where the AG had already accepted that the acting group CEO would be deemed the accounting authority in terms of 49(2)(b). Then, following reconsideration of the matter by the AG then decided to resume with the audit, and the financial statements were resubmitted on 9 October. I can confirm that that audit is proceeding and it will be completed on 30 November 2017. That is the report with regard to the first issue that we have been called upon to explain, Honorable Chairperson and members. The second issue is allegations of state capture at PRASA.
Advocate, we would request you to hold that one in abeyance and check if members would want to engage with the first matter. Honorable members, Honorable Ramatlaka, Honorable Hadebe, Honorable Sibande.
Thank you, Chair, and seeing that this is our first engagement with the Acting Board, pleased to meet you, and we certainly have high hopes, seeing that there are a lot of challenges, since this is very important at the end of the day for getting everything on the rails again, if I may use that expression. And it was certainly a tough way to get into the seat, if you like, and I do respect the fact that you are new in the chair in many ways, and through your own expression by using more or less your same words, where you said that you are still trying to understand and get an understanding of everything that you need to deal with and that you are challenged with. I have a concern in looking at the compilation of the current board, who to my judgment consists of competent people, yet I am concerned about the amount of time that you really have at hand to be able to deal with everything as a board member, you together with your board members, seeing that it's a load of issues that you have to deal with. We've also had the experience of board members not really reaching up for these very important engagements. But then I'm really concerned about the available time that you would have. So if you can give a reflection on that, seeing that most of the appointments are professional people that are still involved in some other way in a career capacity, if you like. Latching on to that, specifically around the theme of repair work that needs to be done. The AG has commented over years, not just in terms of the current financial year, but over years. So there definitely is a particular trend in terms of procurement and contract management, which are major issues. Then also particular expenditure management issues, leadership issues, and then financial performance and administrative management control issues, which are all closely related to particular decision making, but then more specifically in terms of oversight. So could you give us an indication of availability in the first place? I don't have any issues around commitment, because surely there is commitment, but then purely in terms of time compared to this huge assignment which has been articulated by the AG over many years, to what extent would you see the current board fit to tackle this and sort it out?
Honorable Ramatlaka.
No, thank you very much, Chair, and to the advocate, a presentation on the first issue. I think for me, you are dealing with the matters, as you indicated, from the time that you are appointed to deal with them. I think that's fine. We'll give you as much support as we can from the portfolio side. But the question I have that is bothering me, Chair, is that the Auditor General return of the, or moving out or leaving the audit, has a reason that he advances. And that reason is that the approval of the financials and the report has to be done by a constituted board. And now, that we all know it should be done by a constituted board. But the question for me that troubles me, which maybe it should be more canvassed with the acting group CEO, is why was the report taken to Anchorage board? If the term of office ended on the 31st of July, that 31st of July, the Auditor General is busy with auditing time on that time on it, because the deadline to submit your financial statement in terms of public finance management at around May. So the question I have is, why was the older report not taken to a board that duly corrected? Or when was the board not correcting? Was it at the end of July or the middle of June? Or when was it? Just trying to understand the flow chart of work in terms of planning. Because without understanding that, it's difficult to say we hear and we accept the reason, because really this is of management. So I thought, Chair, what is lacking in the explanation or in the input by the Chair, that information lacks as to why was this not addressed earlier. So the group CEO would probably deal with that. At the same breath, you probably would be assisted by the reps of the department. Because I think that, let me just end there before I make all of our statement. Just to get a little bit of a clarity on that. We now know that the Auditor General has promised that by the 30th of November, the audit will be done and be finalized. Is it the intention of the board that there would be an extraordinary board meeting on the 30th of October to receive and to sign off on the report on route to Parliament? I'm trying to establish, when will the report of BRASA under the leadership, your leadership, madam, that would be submitted to Parliament? Can we get at least some indication from you? The 30th is, I think, on a Thursday. Is that the indication that on Friday the report will be submitted to Parliament, so that we know more or less where we stand on this? Because, and I also know that Parliament probably would rise on the 30th of November. So the sequence, what's going to happen when? Should we take this report for constituents reading? Will it be in Parliament? Or you still don't know exactly when you will then meet the requirement of the PMFA in terms of the submission? Before we get to the second items that we talked about, let's just get clarity around some of those areas which is in your control, I would respect. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Ramasaka and Honorable Khadeli.
Thanks, Chair. Let's just congratulate the interim board and welcome you. It's unfortunate that you are just welcomed by baptism. So it's the nature of the work that you are, you know, being given. And congratulations once more. And congratulations once more in advance, Madam Your Majesty. Hopefully I'm not going to come in front of your court to plead not guilty also. So, yeah. I'm trying just to recall my memory. he serves me well, and I wish members can be also to utilize that particular memory that Chairperson, when Prasa was here, I think it was February, if I'm not mistaken, March, the board was already not correcting. And we laid this thing to the minister then to say, as the board is not correcting, it's going to give challenges in terms of how are they going to deal with other matters. It's going to affect, if I remember correctly, I even asked you, Mr. LK, that will this not disturb any work at the Prasa level? Because what we need and expect is that you must provide service delivery. But the, I don't know what thing I better than chair on the lights, on the installation page. But the former board chair, I was opening and went, aye, we're fine. We're going to continue deal with work, and this has came to what we see today. So this is what we see. We must be able also to tell the public that other people, they don't put their needs forward, but they have put their private needs and personalities around issues of service delivery, rather than, you know, making sure that things are being dealt according to the book. So it's one of the other matters that you must be able to know and you know, you have to deal with. But my question, advocate, is that in terms of the your involvement in submission, I know that you said the report that was submitted to the AG was returned back because the board was not correcting. In resubmitting these reports, the second one, I'm trying to check in terms of you know, probably, did you reassess the reports or you submitted the reports as they are, so that I can try to get an understanding, because at times you mustn't just throw blame on you, as if, you know, because you found the bus moving, so you're riding in the train, move along. So I must be able to understand what happened. When the report, they returned back, what did you do? Did you recheck the report and resubmit it back, or what did you do? But the other challenge that that I wanted to understand is that as we're submitting that report, there were also pressing issues of the portfolio committee that we wanted them to be dealt before end of July, which were promised that are going to be dealt with. I just want to check if also you were given brief in terms of how far they and all those things in relation to the Werksmann report. How far they, whether the first one being taken out or still continuing, because what we raised as a key aspect was that Werksmann must just stop because it's not giving value for money for us as members of parliament. And it was continued to be paid, and something that was not necessary. So it's something that we wanted to also to check. If you can be able to give me response to that, I'd be very much grateful. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Khatebe, Honorable Sibanda.
Thank you, Chairperson. Siyabonga mama. But nevertheless, we will go on to ask some few clarities. You see, advocate, 1 hour of our concern in the previous Prasa board, I wanted to put it straight so that you can know it exactly. You see, it was the Prasa board which had disregarded the committee since the board came into office. And you see, to me,
there was a statement which you issued to say concerning the invitation to come to the portfolio committee. To me, for today, it was very much going to be very strategical for you to bring everybody on board. You know why? Serious or courtesy calling, so that we know each other, to familiarize each other to each other. Because, so that we help those who are serious about the issue of taking serious the board in terms of co-reading, because you raised the issue of co-reading somewhere in one of your reports. And previously, of which we have any hope that the new board maybe will assist us, because the previous board, there was a lot of instability. And we lost of investigations whereby we are so very concerned that they must do something. And then therefore, the question which I wanted you to ask is that by law, for how long must the board start to account? Because to me, you didn't yet started accounting. For an example, you failed to comply. That's why the minister wrote to the speaker that you never come none compliance of section 65. Therefore, how long is it going to take to start to account? Second question is that you still highlight that you mustn't forget that there are procurements that must be authorized by the board. That is our concern. There are procurements that are supposed to be authorized by the board. But if they don't correct, so what do we expect? How are you going to make it? Because we, all of us, we depend solely on board. That board are the people who are supposed to make a proper monitoring. Then without going back also to mention that thing of the past whereby to an extent some of the people, because there is a stipulations that in terms of the law, how many meetings are supposed to have, and then also to avoid the things which happened in the past whereby people were paying themselves to an extent more than the guidelines, of which consulted that some people, they were instructed to pay back the money, of which I'm not sure all of them that they did pay the money, if they've done so, but not for today, 100%, because I think we will have much time so that we go deeper to some of the issues. But for today, the issue of non-compliance, to me, it's worrying me. First step, first day in the office, but failing to account, that is something else. It shows that, it means, in other words, there was nothing, there were no structures. Will you please check us on board whether there were structures? And if there were structures, why they were failing you? Because they are the ones who are supposed to make sure that you are a proper accounting officer in terms of the PFMA. Person, let me summarize it like that. I don't want to go in a lot of issues next time.
Thank you, honorable members. Advocate Makubele and your team, I think there's too much that this portfolio committee has So that's how I can put it. There's a whole lot of, there's a plethora of things that as a portfolio committee would really want to engage with you. But I would hasten to say the reason why you are here today is to stick to the issues that we have raised of the non-compliance to us now, what is a challenge is when you, like my colleague has indicated, at the end of November, when you the report, the annual report will be sent to the speaker. How are we going to handle this situation going forward? Obviously, we will engage with that annual report because the AG on several occasions has raised a number of things. And we have also been seeing a number of things. Amongst other things that I can quickly think of is the question of under expenditure at some stages last year when we were dealing with the annual report, there was an indication that the under expenditure was to the tune of less than 70% under expenditure, but when you look at the total money, you find that because this business unit has under expended, there is this fireman and all these other things which were happening, which was creating a problem for us. And I can tell you, even quarterly reports, as we're dealing with them, you will always be seeing a trend which is coming instead of 25%. First quarterly expenditure, it will be less. Midway, you have expended less than 50%. And these are the trends and the patterns that we have seen. But we're just saying and giving you information so that these are the things that, some of the things that as you will be engaging, you have to be alive to those type of situations. And you have to be alive to the fact that the Auditor General has over and over been repeating one and the same thing, and those things were never corrected. And even the erstwhile board, when they were here in March, were still battling to say, at what level are you going to comply with what the Auditor General is talking to? Your supply chain is found wanting. Your contract management is something that you have to write home about on a regular basis, because these are the issues that the Auditor General is raising on a regular basis. And I can go on and on. Your ITC matters and, you know, those to us are the things that we believe this short period that you will be given, we believe that you should be able to really start putting committees that can be able to deal with the matters that the Auditor General has raised. Look at the issues that we have raised in terms of our report to Parliament on matters of PRASA. Look at what the Portfolio Committee has indicated to say, we have observed this and we believe these are our recommendations. And most of the recommendations were never implemented by the erstwhile board. And we are calling on the staff to say, let's look at this better and be able to. This is going back, you should be able to really look into those things. I know you are concerned. You hear Advocate Makubel, ukhuluma irimi le rimeni khuluma kuro. So that's why he uba kunwe kwele Limpopo. So that's why ningwala musa irimi le rira ka hina. So don't be jealous. Don't be jealous when I talk, because all the time I speak your language, so today I've got a chance of speaking my indigenous language. Advocate Bakumen, it's your time to respond to honorable members. You see, they're jealous when I talk to you in our indigenous language, so don't mind them. That Sabankar Niku to Lusha for Kambe, a Varabula in Shichangani Stong.
Like as Samashkulu, I'm Tanzela, acting group CEO, Namuntakuru. Sometimes, you know, when you give instructions, probably when you communicate in the language that say the people in the conversation understand, it's much better because, you know, English is not our first language. But coming back to the opportunity that you're now giving me, Honorable Chair, my team will, where necessary, assist me. The first issues raised by Honorable Member about the composition of the current board, which he actually complimenting, but the question being the time that we have, whether we'll be able to achieve anything, and that ties with what the Honorable Chair just remarked on about whether we will even have enough time to be appraised, or, you know, in this radio show, the buzzer will go off and the presenter will say, I don't have time to finish the question. So we also are wondering whether our time will end whilst we're still at question time. But I can assure this honorable committee that we are doing extraordinary things. The team, just the expertise, which maybe for the record, I'm a legal expert, and a transport expert, Professor Manulete, she is an expert in safety, and also Mr. Manulete too. The members who are not here, one is a financial expert, and so it's a good thing. Our work too was the time. We are entering our letters of appointment, say, till further notice, which can be when we leave these premises. But what we have done, because they would have standards that the board must have meetings every quarter, and we said and imagine that every quarter means our first meeting was in October, then the next meeting was going to be sometime in February, and the term would end even before we meet again. But what we have done, or what I did, I then said, look, colleagues, we are here as an interim board. It means everything must be done with a view that you then say we must have frequent meetings, because that's what it means in terms of our mandate. You can't wait for a meeting that will take place in 2 months. So we have brought forward all meetings. And as I'm speaking, we are going to have, I mentioned it in the last paragraph of my letter, that I have arranged for a special meeting. That special meeting will take place in a week or two. And those are the time frames that we are trying to truncate for purposes of at least achieving an understanding, and not just understanding, because if we spend time understanding and then we take that knowledge with us when we leave, we want to implement our understanding. So I think that should take care of the first part of your question, that we are going to meet as frequently as possible. And as for me, being in between jobs means I have time. And not only that, this team, because it's a specialist team, if I can, I can call it that way. Each one of us is raising issues. We're not waiting for management to give us issues, but we know the basis of our point. We know the environment. We know the contentious issues. We know that I'll elaborate more when I come to the investigation. But we know that there's the public protector report, there's the AG's issues that have been raised from 2014, 2015, irregular expenditure, mismanagement. Before we do anything, our main concern is we want to make sure that all those issues that have been raised, they are dealt with. Before you do anything, you want to make sure that the issues that the public protector has raised, they are not repeating themselves, so that we, at the end of the day, become a subject of some adverse reports when severe. That's not our intention. But tying that again to the last remark by the chairperson, it will also help if this honorable committee can, because raise issues with us. The issues, the historic issues that I'm hearing now that the committee has raised, the board has not attended to ensure that we do not have make excuses that management has not given us the issues, because you know we do not reside there, we do not have access to information, and I don't want to come here and say that issue has not been, we were not provided with that information, but my understanding of your role, oversight role, is that and taking into account the fact that you know that in a short space of time there has been so many calls, there could be a problem or with regard to handing over, you know, where it depends on how you live in any circumstance. In an ideal world, there would be a handover by one board to the next board. Then the new board would know that our predecessor was dealing with these issues and then we now must take over. But I think it is your role as the oversight committee to say, you, the new people, that these are the issues that we have already raised, we have not received a response on. I do not know if you would consider helping us with that, but from our side, we are, I think, we are prepared to work over time, and honorable member has raised the issue that these are professionals, they may be busy with their own schedules. That is correct, which is why in the beginning it would have been an issue to say, now my schedule for November, December, people's diaries were already full. But because we understand that we have accepted this mandate, we had to find time. You can imagine, he is a professor, he has so many engagements, but he is sitting here today because he has tried to find space in his diary. And she too, and me too, all of us. So we are committed that we have made that commitment. When necessary, we're going to have a special or extraordinary or urgent meetings, whatever they may be called. So I want to assure the committee that in the time that we have been given, we are going to do our best. We're not going to have an excuse, because if that was the intention, We'll just be having one meeting and then wait for the one in February and the other one in June, but that's not our intention. When I come to the next issue, I will tell you that we are going to bring to this committee a detailed plan of how we intend to deal with the issues that have come to our attention. And yes, being at that inquiry or inquisitive stage, some of the things we just read over the newspaper, but you can help us as the Oversight Committee to say, these are the issues we have raised. I don't know if we, I'm not here to ask you how to do your job, but I just wanted to assist us. Somewhere in your archives, you do have issues that you raised with the board that have not been dealt with, and we have a right to be told what those issues are, not in general terms, but specific, and then we'll be able to deal with it. And I think the first questions were directed at me. I think I have dealt with them, and then the issues about the AG and how after the 30th of November things are going to unfold, the group CEO will respond if there's anything that you would want to add. But in the letter, I have stated that date of 3rd November, page 3 of my letter, paragraph 3.1.8, the audit will be completed on 8 November. It's the audit that's being completed on 8 November, not that the report will be submitted on 8 November, but in terms of reporting, I do not know. Because one would expect that when our executive authority explains to Parliament as he is obliged to, then he would then receive a report and there would be an engagement with him and also an undertaking by him based on those engagements, which I'm not aware of, but I think there would have been engagement to say your explanation is accepted or not accepted or putting you to test. We now that you say the audit is underway and it will be completed by 30 November, then make a commitment by which date. So at my level, I can't take it further than this. With regard to the issue of resubmission, why was the report of an incorrect board submitted? I'll ask Mr. Zille to address that. I've addressed when the report will come, that undertakings will have to be made by the executive office authority in view of the fact that he has already explained the engagement at that level. And then we will just comply. Mr. Zide, if you can address the question that if you are able to Honorable Committee, I will request that some of the issues that are not clear in the letter that we have not addressed, the gaps that Honorable Ramatlakane has already referred to, I have noted them. Because there will be an issue that I have raised it in my verbal submission that just before we came in, there was the issue of whether now the report proceed with the acting DCEO as the accounting officer of the new board must now take ownership. And that means that we must now look at what the auditors are doing, the issues that they are raising, and be satisfied that the answers given, we are familiar with the things that we know. That is a process that will happen. But Mr. Zide can explain, I think, with regard to the logistics with on the current audit and the ownership of that audit when it is completed.
Mr. Zide, sir, before, are the other board members wanting to make additions to the chairperson's issues before?
Yeah, maybe I can just add, Honourable Chair and members, that we have in fact met, even up until last night. Must I tell you what time we slept in? Very late, like early hours of the morning, so it was another opportunity for us to meet. And the Chair has also been to the offices of Fraza to speak to the staff and engage staff and introduce the team. And we have scheduled our meetings. In fact, one of the finance meetings is already set. The other committee meetings are sitting on Monday coming, and the dates have been scheduled. And the reason why we've done that is obviously separating and dividing the work, because some of these issues have to do with the organizational and the structure and the reporting lines and getting information. So in preparation for our special meeting, and also we have a governance meeting that has been scheduled in the next week, so that we can sit and look at all the issues coming from different committees. Because from a compliance perspective, there's certain things that the house is burning. So we have really been on board and in board in terms of getting our feet, our heads, everything wet. What the Chair said is that because we understand that in the Seabra Railways background, so some of these things are new to us. We know that some of the issues have been in the public domain, so we've taken on board everything, but we also want to make sure that whatever we do is correct and report consistently and report the correct things to the Portfolio Committee, but we understand our responsibility in terms of the timeline. So I think that's all I can add for that.
Thank you. Prof, anything?
Thank you. I think what I need to stress is that in terms of time, we accepted the appointment knowing very well that we may work extraordinary time, and we are available to can give that commitment, no doubt about it.
Thank you very much. I think, Honourable Members, it's very clear that the board is going to need extra meetings outside of the scheduled meetings as per requirement, so that they are able to deal with the issues at their disposal within the time frame that they have been given. This is really what they are highlighting, and probably Honourable Humsinga.
Thank you, Chair. Certainly, a lot of the remarks, to a large extent, has been given us hope for the future. But as new board members, I want to emphasize the fact that we've got a track record as an oversight component and responsible and accountable body as a committee. We've got a track record of concerns which we've been raised. So therefore, I find it a bit disturbing that you, Advocate Makubela, say that we must now hand over these issues. It's on record, with all due respect. And we are anxious and in a state of wanting answers to those issues already. In fact, the last meeting that my colleague referred to was on the 9th of May, where we anxiously again requested an outstanding compilation of lists and lists of issues to the previous board. Now, in taking over that responsibility, certainly you must sort of get acquainted with the content, etc., etc., but it's a bit disturbing then to hear that you're not even aware of such an outstanding request, which I would then ask and request through the chair that this should be regarded as high priority, because it's going to become a burning issue, because it is already. We are at the point of asking you whether there would be, for instance, an urgency meeting on what's happening at Metrorail, because this is all about our commuters and the quality of service that through your entity we are delivering to our people. And we are bombarded with questions, and our accountability responsibility is like in the red in terms of a gauge, in terms of pressure on all of these issues. So therefore, advocate, we are expecting a recovery plan at this stage already, and I know you are fresh in the seat, so, you know, we are way beyond to say hi and let's start with this. We are anxious really to see recovery plans, we are anxious to see how particular stuff will be handled, we are anxious to see answers on the list and list of questions that are on record already. So I'm a bit concerned because there is no time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you,
Advocate.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to correct one thing. When I said the committee can give, I said assist, because I said you know the environment better than us. You know the issues you've raised. And I've already said we've truncated the time frame for board meetings. My colleague has already indicated something that I forgot to mention, that I am spending time at PRASA at the risk of being called a board that's operational. I am meeting with executives. I am raising issues. Each and every unit at PRASA, so that I know what is happening, and most importantly, that the issues that have been raised by the AG and the PP have been addressed, so that so you don't want to rely on officials to give you information at their own time, but you are aware, you ask, then you get questions, and then you refer to committees, which is why committees are sitting more frequent than they would normally. The Finance Committee has already said on the date, I think it was on 16th of November, but then they are sitting again next week, because when they see being a new board, they raise issues, they want answers. So it's going to be a constant kind of engagement, and you will have to bear with us there, because when we leave, probably you will get a report that that board was sitting and all sorts of. So when I say assist us, it's not that we know the issue, and management is giving us the answer, but we don't want to sit there 3 months and come back here and say, you did not assist us. That's the context, that I'm not saying that you must do our job. We will do our job within the accepted framework.
Line.
Panze, I thought that they would complete their questions. Maybe we can take the second round of questions.
Oh.
Yeah. Mr. Zide.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable members, the question that Honorable Ramatlakane had asked is that when the financials were submitted and the board was not correct, the financials were submitted on the 31st of May, as is required by the PFMA. However, at that time, the board was not correct. The letter was written by the chair to the DG and to the minister that, given that the board is not correcting, but it has the fiduciary responsibilities of having to submit the financials, the entity is submitting the financials to the AG. So the financials were submitted on the 31st of May as required. And as the chair had read the letter, the AG on the 2nd of June acknowledged the receipt of those financials and proceeded with the audit. Up until a point in July 21st, when they said, look, we want a board that is correct. And by that time, I think it was about 9-10 days before the expiry of the term of the Estuary board. So I just want to put that in context. I hope that I've responded. Thank you, Chair.
Let me first give
Marlene. Yeah, thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. I think in terms of the appointment of boards, let's direct, I'm responding in terms of the questions from Honorable Ramatlakane with regards to the clarity of the boards. To indicate that direct that question to the Minister of Transport, who is the responsible authority. It is not the responsibility of the officials, and also is not the responsibility of the interim board. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Banze, and then was it a follow-up? Okay. From the let's have a follow up and then Honorable Banze, you will ask your question.
Yeah. No. I'm disturbed by the last response. That response disturbs me because it's a response that runs away from answering the question. The Department of Transport, it has a rep, a direct rep in the Board of Transport. Not so. Now, who's that person? So you can't therefore say we must direct a question to the minister when you have a responsibility functional to be able to say or to give the Minister of Transport an advice when you see that there is a problem in the board. So you can't, Mr. Mavilla, give us a backhander. You can't give us a backhander. I will direct the question to the Minister of Transport. I that's why it disturbs me. Because actually what you're doing, you're saying in a bad hand. Now, you see, I want to follow up, Chair, the question. I want to know because you also report to the Director General of the Department, who accordingly has to advise the minister when there's those kind of problems that's got to do with the law. Because everything here is related in terms of the I still want to know that answer. The follow-up I was going to do with the chair, the advocate. I'm trying to paraphrase this. This just to know that I'm hearing a response. The paragraph 311 speaks about the deadline when the Auditor General will submit a report. It is 30th of November. That's when the submission will happen.
3.1
is the last sentence.
It will be completed on
8th
November
2020. Yes, that's the point I'm talking to.
Yes.
Now,
that's the audit.
That's the audit.
The audit will be completed on the 8th.
Yes.
Then after the completion of the audit, the audit will be processed on the report to be and that's the process I was saying.
Give me a chance. Chair, just give me a chance. Let me develop my question. I heard you.
Yes.
I heard you very clearly. The response, I'm worried about the response I'm getting from you, because you're saying once the report is completed on the 30th, that there will be processes of the executive to communicate with the speaker. I wasn't there. I was asking, the recipient of the report is the board, the PRASA board. So whether the board will be submitted. And the board of PRASA will then follow a particular process to submit a report en route to Parliament. That route via the minister's office. Then the minister attests the signature to Parliament. But the board, because the responsibility of functioning this or parastatal to function is yours. The report will come to you, then that's when you go to visit. That's what I was asking. Are you going to meet as the board once the report is finalized to say, now we sign off as a board from our side as a report. We now submit the report to the minister for the minister now to comply with Parliament in terms of PMFA? That was my question.
Can I just answer that question? I probably missed that part. And there's going to be, when the audit is completed on 30 November, the audit, there are meetings that have already been scheduled. Starting with the audit committee, it's meeting on, I think it's 4th, police, on the 5th of December. The reason being that now we have the report from the AG. So the board has scheduled meetings from the 5th, and then the audit committee to sit. Then there's the governance committee that's going to sit the next day, the 6th, then there's the board that's going to see the next week, I think the day, if I'm not mistaken, is 30. So that's our
Okay.
You will be given time to respond.
Yeah, Chairperson, unfortunately, I will only carry the message on the answer. The issues that are being asked by Honorable Ramatakane are not delegated to officials. It's only the responsibility of the minister. So we will take the message, and it is not delegated to officials. Thank you, Chair.
What exactly is your role in the board? Because you are representing the department. What exactly is your role? Because to me, and probably the understanding of honorable members,
the question that was asked, you can be able to respond to.
Now, I think that we will have a long day in here. See, the question that Mr. Manrique is responding to, maybe you should tell us in terms of, he is a member of the board, he is also an official of the department, he says secondly represent a body, represent a minister. And that means you are here as a robot. You have no brains, you say nothing, only the minister will say, why does the minister not sit directly if you have no brains? The question that I was asking here, which rule, what is this act that tells you, can you tell us what authority is it that tells you that you don't have anything to do with the board? Just hear it.
Through you, Chairperson, the Public Service Act and its regulations. I am employed to serve the minister. I am not employed to be the minister. So I'm just indicating something that honorable members should know, that the authority, Chairperson, cannot be protected.
You are protected. Honorable members, just hold it a bit. Just hold it a bit and let him respond. Don't intimidate. No, Honorable Ramataka.
Let me just finish what I'm saying.
No, Honorable Ramataka.
There's a little sound. Don't know what is the city here.
Honorable Ramataka, you're not going to finish. Allow him to respond. Then you will be able to come in. No. You asked a question, you made a statement, and I thought that he is responding to that, and then you'll make a follow-up. Can we go away to Rara? Skela mutane la habule. And yacela buti, yacela. Uguti, magakulu me, and then you will uza respond later on. Please.
Chairperson, can I just understand the question that brought us to this situation? I'm writing here, the question was, the issue was about the report of an incorrect board being submitted to the AG. Why was that done? And then the issue follow up from Honorable Khadebe was the resubmitted report, did you as new board assess it? So, but now we are at this point where I don't know how we got there. For me, the question relates to that incorrect board. I don't know whether what is being discussed now is that we are not correcting, or it's about the previous
board. It was board that was not correcting, which led to a situation where the AG decided to say they are no longer proceeding with the audits because there is no board in that respect. And I think Honorable Ramatlakana was coming on a follow-up, which actually emanated from what Maluleke said, to say as the representative of the minister in the board, he will elevate the matters to the minister. And hence a situation where members are saying, are you a robot or are you just a messenger who sits in the board and take the matters to the minister without actually making an input? What is the reason for the minister to elect you to go and serve on his behalf in the board if you can't
respond to issues that are being raised. So to me, those were the issues which actually brought about this anomaly that we are seeing. Honorable Ramatata, I would request that we maybe proceed. But I think this is one of the things that we will note to the minister to say your representative in the board we are having a challenge because he does not everything that as a portfolio committee we would want to hear from the department. He says, I will elevate to the minister so that the minister can give a response. And therefore, futile an exercise for the minister to have you in the board while you cannot be able to take decisions or give information to that regard. Can I close it like that?
Yes,
Honorable Khadebe, Honorable Sibande, yours, I thought it was a new thing altogether. You will follow. And I think we need to reach finality so that we can go to the item number two.
All right. No, thanks, Chair. Advocate, please bear with us. It's matters that are also affecting the previous board. Historic issues. Historic materialism. Ms. Maluleke, please. Maluleke. Try not to play games with the portfolio committee. You know you can be rude at sometimes. We don't mind of chasing you out here. So just behave. Conduct yourself accordingly. These are members of parliament when they raise issues. Your responsibility is to take issues to the minister. You are a representative of the minister, the department, and your role is as such. Don't tell us that you are employed in terms of the Public Service Act and everything. If that's what your behavior is going to be, we'll behave on the other part where you don't want us to be. Please don't do that. Don't patronize members. When you raise issues because of the concerns that we have. And when we see these issues that you as officials representing the minister and shareholders, you are not doing your responsibilities. We raised this thing even before, that these officials that are going to the boards, they are not representing the minister or the department, they are even representing their own jackets. Don't do that. Please, I'm appealing with you to be patient with us so that when we are raising these issues, take these issues and go and raise it properly and directly with the minister. Otherwise, when the minister comes in, we're going to tell that Maluleke is failing his oversight duties. You must be removed there, finish the class, and we don't want to hear anything from the minister unless you give us a response that is you are removed from that responsibility. Thanks, Chair.
Honorable Sibande.
Chairperson, coincidentally, my hand was up before Bab Marakunda. Chairperson, do respect you. Yes, I will mind about time later. But I wanted to comment further. Please don't teach us, we don't anticipate the person to teach us about the protocol. And then some people sometimes just would chicken out the voucher figure of obesity. It mustn't happen like that. We know our story, we know why we were deployed. Coincidentally, we were expecting, remember, we didn't go to deeper questions about the issue of the Brasa. Because we wanted you maybe to get clarity about why we didn't comply. We didn't want you to go to some of these things, including Vexman and other people and the like. Don't push us in the corner. Some people, they forget one thing. We don't have powers to expel a person, but we do have powers to recommend that this one doesn't fit for 1, 2, 3. We don't want to go to that mat, except being said, go out. We don't want to go to that corner. Let's leave it to the chairperson to take it further to the next item. With that note.
Honorable Bande, before we take it to the item number two, which is the state of capture, or the state capture, however you call it.
Yes, no, thanks, Chair. My colleagues have spoken, but I feel very much my intelligence being insulted and undermined. And I think it should not happen. When members raise issues, they know what they are asking. Chair, I just want to appeal. It's an appeal to me. It's not a question. An appeal that while the board is having this series of meetings and developing plans, because we have a bad experience with the previous board, and they always say experience is the best teacher. You have meetings, you develop plans, but nothing comes out of that. And I think that's the frustration that we are expressing as a board, as a committee, that we don't want to go that route again. So, Chair, I'm just wanting to appeal to the board members that while they are doing those things, meetings, we appreciate the commitment and developing plans, but there are immediate things that they can do. There are immediate things, and things should not stop because there are meetings and plans are being developed, and you are going to wait for the plans. For an example, the issue of starting processes in terms of filling senior positions. Right now we have the acting group CEO and then CFO. You can start the process of advertising. It doesn't need meetings, it doesn't have development of plans. Then the process of also starting the payment of service providers who have done work for long time ago and have not been paid. And I think those processes can be initiated and be done immediately. So these processes can run concurrently. The long-term plans and meetings, but also operational issues can also be happening at the same time. So, Chair, I just wanted to have that appeal that let's not have a situation where things are standing still. There are those things that management can run within their operational. The board is only just to give them and go ahead, take a resolution and say, implement these ones. So that is my appeal, Chairperson, so that we'll have things moving on the other side and other long-term things, then we'll wait for them.
Honorable, we think I'm going to give you 1 minute so that you can be able to get the responses of the outstanding matters as indicated by Advocate McGuinn.
Thank you, Chair. I'm just keen to get to the other matters, but I think just to give some clarity on the previous issue that we handled about the role and function in being a board member as well as a representative from the executive. And I'm reading from the Public Services Act, section 20.21.22, but in particular this short paragraph. It is a challenge for public service officials appointed as board members to remain independent in view of their official duties to their employees, employers and executive authorities. Although these officials have been appointed ex officio, they are still fully liable as board members. And it's in that capacity that you sit here, sir. I think you should read that.
Probably even withdraw the statement that you said earlier on. Advocate McGuinn.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Before I respond to the last issues raised, I just want to apologize on behalf of everyone here that we did not come here to cause trouble, and you will pardon our maybe sometimes use of words or understanding of issues. That's why I always ask when I didn't understand, I don't understand the question, so the manner in which I respond should not offend any person. And I have not spoken to Mr. Maluleke, but I do not think that was the intention, and that the board and management team, if you can forgive us, we were expecting a cordial meeting, and we want to leave you happy. Coming to the issues that I just from my notes here, the only, the other issue that I did not address is the Honorable Sivata is still here, and he talked about for how long must the board start to comply. We are not saying that we want to do, we the minute of all people, I should understand that the minute you step into your predecessor's shoes, you are liable for everything, the good and the bad. And we only appealed for time to come and account. We have no intention to hide anything. We are going to account. And then he also said there are documents that must be authorized by the board. If they don't correct, again, is the issue about the why statements or reports are being submitted when the person submitting knows that there are challenges. That's an issue that we are noting, so that management in future will do things in a proper manner. He also said people instructed to pay money as they paid. This I think we'll deal with it when we come to the investigation. And the issues raised by Honorable Panza, that he appreciates our meetings and that we are going to have a plan, but then in the meantime there are things that must happen. We can assure you as a board that we, these meetings that we say are happening, we are much aware, for instance, that some of the findings relate to questions as to whether do you even have the right people that are leading the institution. And we, I think you are also aware that, or I should make you aware that a lot of positions at executive level, they are now occupied by people in acting capacities, starting from the group CEO, there's an acting CFO, acting human. So that's the structure that we have in. But those are the meetings that we, that issue will be dealt with by the Human Resource Committee that is sitting next week on
the 27th.
Yes. So if you can, I don't know, I know you are going on research, but if you were not, we would even commit ourselves to come and report how we are dealing with this, all these agent issues that you are raising. And then the issue of payment of service providers, that's one of the issues that has been brought to our attention, and that's one of the issues that we are dealing with as a result of the many investigations and the reports. There are, it's information that I still have to verify, that some contracts that may have been solved, or where contractors are really struggling, and we are attending to that. We will be able to, and we are putting into place processes to bring into finality all those kind of issues. And we hope before we go for our own research, we will have done most of these things. And the last issue, Honorable Chairperson, that you also raised in your remarks that I realized I did not address, is was the issue of the findings by the AG over and over again, things like under expenditure projects. That has been brought to our attention. We are dealing with it. We know that there's a core mandate of PRASA. There are issues.
the issues of service delivery. But you know, all these issues about corruption and mismanagement, they overshadow the real mandate of PRASA, which is it's something that we have been reported and that we are dealing with. But you know, knowing that the TP has highlighted irregularities with regard to how projects or tenders are awarded, we need to establish, have we done those internal controls that the AG and the PP are talking about? But it's something that we know that service delivery must happen at PRASA. Honorable Chairperson, I think these are the issues in the first round that have been raised, and if my answer is still in clarity, I can explain.
Thank you very much, Advocate. I think if there are other issues which are outstanding, we wouldn't have a problem if they are submitted in writing to the Portfolio Committee, because obviously you may want to elaborate on some of the things that you believe verbally you did not respond adequately, and therefore you can do it in writing. Sipho Ulabai.
Thanks, Chair. Just two issues. One, of course, from the department side, probably the difficulty with the role that Maluleka plays is that he is in the board. And
no, don't even go there.
Yes.
The matter was eloquently explained by Honorable Humsinga. And therefore, we believe that it is closed within that confines. There's a law that is governing public servants who are sitting within the board. So don't even go there.
Okay, Chair. I suppose, Chair, what is key for us is that a turnaround plan from on the side of the board, what our view as a department that deals quickly with those issues that require, for instance, issues that do not require a meeting to meet, issues that need to be dealt as swiftly as possible. And of course, we are interested to see of a plan that will take PRASA from where it is, so that we're able to deal with issues that affect our commuters in the main of what's happening to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Advocate Makubele, you can proceed with the second item.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members of this committee. I've seen correspondence regarding the issue of state capture that PRASA must explain. There's also communication that I've seen that I think sometime in July, PRASA was directed to investigate this issue of state capture at the entity. Our starting point is that PRASA is yet to receive the allegations in this regard. However, before I come to the qualification and the word state capture is utilized in the context, I believe, of the report by my colleague, Advocate Mara Donsela. And in that report, PRASA is not featured. What we know, what is also in the public domain, is that a special investigation was done by the public protector with regard to widespread maladministration, improper conduct involving
procurement irregularities, conflicts of interest, nepotism, and human resource mismanagement, including victimization of whistleblowers. And that report that's already in the public domain is titled Derailed, and it was issued on 24 August 2015. We are not running away from addressing issues that have in this country come to be known as state capture, but we just want to put into context that that report of state capture is limited in the sense that it's the direction that it takes, but then the PPD is a very detailed report about BRASA, and to the extent that all those complaints or findings may be called when we are now in 2017 as state capture, there is a report that we have. We also say we have been informed of the AG's audit, irregular expenditure identified, that's the 2014-15 audit, totaling 550 million, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure totaling 19 million. We know that our predecessor appointed a firm of attorneys. The name of the attorneys are Gersman, to investigate some of the identified irregular expenditure. This report, that's the public protector's report, called the race, and the report of Gersman, they've been made available to me in the last week or two. I can also confirm that Treasury undertook some investigation arising from the public protector's report, remedial action, and that summary of that report is also available. The special board meeting that I alluded to earlier that will take place is for the board to discuss these three reports and to consider the findings and the recommendations made. We will then submit a comprehensive plan on how we intend to implement those recommendations. I am aware, before I accept questions, that this public protector's report was concluded in 2015, I think it's in August. And we are trying to, and paragraph 9 of this report directs the minister, the chairperson of the board, the group CEO, the supply chain, or procurement, the treasury to do certain things. What we are going to consider in our special meeting is the report that we have requested from management on how each and one of those functionaries has implemented those remedial actions of the public protector. And with regard to the Versman's report, I noted that the portfolio committee has requested to have sight of that report. We do not have a problem of submitting that report, but you will understand that if it's an investigation, forensic investigation, you have a report, you, the author of the report, you need to be certain that you have engaged with the author of the report, and then you then can release that report. We are not certain, that's the information that we have requested, that that has happened, and to the extent that it has not happened, in the meeting that we are going to have in the next week or so, we are going to invite all relevant people to, so we can make this report available. And it will also not be in terms of a procedure for the board to hand over the report that the board has not considered to the portfolio committee. That is my report with regard to, because there's also an issue about the expenditure, how much has been spent for the Bergman investigation. That information will be made available to the portfolio committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Advocate. The Bergman issue has been a bone of contention within the portfolio committee. How they were appointed without going out on tender, the terms of reference, were the issues that were questioned in the erstwhile board. And that is why we're still saying, how much have they been paid? Because you go out on tender, you have terms of reference, service level agreements, and so forth and so forth, in terms of how government operates, and those were the things that the board was, the portfolio committee has requested from the board since the appointment of the Bergman company, and we have to date still to receive the questions that we have put forward. How are they appointed? Is there a service level agreement? What were the terms of reference? If at all they were to do a work, it doesn't become endless. You know, we need to know for how long will they be operating, and. So, honorable members, let me start with you, Honorable Khadebe. Honorable Rumsinga will follow on this matter. These are the two hands that I am seeing. Honorable Sibande will follow Honorable Rumsinga. Kezo.
No, thanks, Chair. No, I just want to get clarity, Advocate. I didn't hear you clearly, or I heard you clearly saying you need to get permission from the author of the report of the Bergman before you give it to us or before you publish it. I don't know whether I hear you clearly saying that, if you can be able to clarify on that. What does that mean exactly? Because we are supposed to be privy to the particular report, because as I said earlier, the intention that we also want to see with that particular report, whether was it really value for money, was it really worth 150 million for the investigation, because Treasury has made all these investigations with 20 million. So what led to, because the other thing that we want to check, what led to 150 million, while Treasury can investigate this thing with 20 million? What's the big difference? What's the level, the scale of you know, these all of these things? But also, what things? I mean, what are the outcomes of that particular report? Because a report that just being investigated, not known things that have been done around about it. It's a very serious challenge. But the other thing that probably if you can be able to organize for us to brief us maybe in the next meeting when you come back to us is that there was our engagement with the previous board that we've noted that the previous board had too many meetings that they had which they exceeded and get privy to pay themselves more than what it was expected out of them and really engage with them. And there was an engagement that some of them were going to pay some of the money. I think last time when we engaged with Mr. Zide was informing us that the chair of the board paid half, if I'm not mistaken. Full. Yeah. So we wanted to check because there was other members who were resistant to pay back the money because they wanted to check whether can they pay back the money. Because they must pay back the money. Okay. Honorable Omsenga.
Thank you, Acting Chair. enough of those. Chair, I think it's important that we sketch a framework for both of us. We as the committee, you as the board, the representatives of the department. I think it's really important that we are clear on laying out the framework of this scope, if you like, that needs to be investigated. Apart from the public protector's very clear instructions of what needs to be done, and also the directives as to who should carry the accounting responsibility for investigating what in that report based on the findings. There was also very clear instruction by Deputy Speaker Vrolijk directed to this committee about allegations of state capture. And we are anxious to proceed on that instruction as a committee, whether and what of these allegations have a particular standing or not. So therefore, we dealt with that up to a certain point, and now certainly, you know, that should be taken up as part of this very important framework that we are sketching in terms of laying out the scope. But then, I'm also curious then, by means of a question, for you to react to around your role and status as an acting board. I would like to know what and if there are any conditions attached to that acting status in terms of specifically these investigations. Are there any conditions that you are aware of? Were you given terms of reference as an instruction in terms of this around the status of an acting board? Then I've also read in the report which the minister on the 14th of November, that's a little bit more than a week ago, in his report he made a remark whereby he said that the former minister, the Pew Peters, will maintain contact in terms of the progress of these investigations. And I would like to hear your opinion as to the mandate which a former minister might have and what room you would allow for a former minister then to also play part in this continuous oversight. I'm also battling to fight like legal or any other reference to that particular desire then to maintain a sort of involvement. But then we would also like to know to what extent up to the point of hearing that indeed the recommendations of the public protector is fully implemented in terms of getting several lines running because there is a whole spectrum of roles and functions as a director then of who should do what. So we are very keen and anxious then to get this report that indeed, and to hear that indeed, all the aspects of what was recommended in this public protector recommendations is fully implemented. But Unfortunately, it doesn't stop there, because in the meantime, because you're dealing with a running business, there is all sorts of issues around the 57 billion deal with the state-owned Export-Import Bank of China that happened while you were not in office. But you need to get grip on that, and we need to get detail on that, because the status and the legitimacy of this contract is in question, and certainly one would want to get some form of report and details on that. So Chair, that to me outlines more or less the framework, but also the huge dilemma which we all sit in, since we are all instructed in some or other way, but most importantly, the general public out there that we need to account to. So we need to take hands here, and we need to be aware of the full framework and scope that we need to address, and time is running. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Chidani.
Thank you, Chairperson. Listen, Chairperson, allow me to follow my colleagues, maybe to make some few comments and questions. Number one, you see, to me, according to the Vexman contract, excuse me, as a new board, may you please help us also to track down some contracts which are very old, which are questionable, like Vexman, which didn't go in a proper way. And then secondly, may you please assist us, because we were told that there are a lot of investigations that about the issue of the cases which are still on or pending, so that we can know exactly that how far the, what is happening, and then also to check for us about the financial implication, because what is worse is about the issue of financial implication. And then also, I wanted to bring to your attention once more another thing. May you please make a follow-up for us in terms of the grants which are given to the provinces, if you are, as BRASA, in particular in the metros where you give them, because it is alleged, it is alleged that some of the grants are not going well in some of the provinces. We'll come later with it. And then also, I'm keen to know exactly about the issue of the money which was received by some of the previous board members, and of which they were instructed to repay the money. And help us, I mean, don't mean now, how much was that? And how many people who managed to comply and pay back? And who are the people who are still in defiance, not prepared to pay that money? So that at the end we can have an amicable solution, maybe jointly, to see how to pursue this matter further, so that it mustn't happen again. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Just a brief one. The last time we had the engagement with the minister, the minister reported or indicated or alluded to the fact that there has been a number of investigations, new legal investigations, that has just mushroomed, that has been appointed recently. So we asked the question what those investigations are for and how many investigations as the new investigations, so to speak, in the process. We also asked the minister, the last time we had a discussion around Brussels budget, there was no item like legal fees that was put aside for various investigations that were going to be embarked upon. And we asked the question, where would the money be found to service those investigations? And who are the investigators? Who are the service providers that are carrying out those investigations? We knew about the treasury investigations, or anything about 10 million rent contract at a cost of 25 million rent. This new scope, and we asked what is the scope? Who decided of this scope? Is the new board that decided this, or the new board just inherited it? And if new board's inheriting it, when was it decided? The question that was worrying us was whether those additional investigations are properly instituted. That day, the group CEO wasn't there, so I'm very delighted that he's here today, so he can share light on some of those investigation and scope of it, and when are they going to finish. Now, in the same breath, we were talking about the number of what was investigated to become a devolution of functions to the metros, some functions that were centralized. That has been part of the long 2 years discussion around it. Now maybe that through the acting group CEO can just share light on it. Advocate, you mentioned that the National Treasury investigation is complete, because the last time we asked the question, I think it wasn't quite complete. Now if it's complete, you're going to be privy to the findings. When are you going to plan to take us on board on some of those investigations? Bearing in mind that for the last 2 years we have a report that's supposed to go to Parliament, that we have in fact done as a committee around PRASA, stretching over a period of 2 years, or 2.5 years to be precise, which there's some gap in the report because of lack of other information that was not available at the time when we were carrying out the investigation. The acting group CEO at the time, I think he was holding a different position. He was holding company secretary position. When we asked, there were a long list of those questions that was going to help us to complete what we were investigating, or what we were engaging as a kind of oversight with the department. The last time I checked, we had not received that long list, that the board was either reluctant or hesitant, maybe that's the right word, hesitant to comply with those or finish us with the information that we have asked from the board. Now you have inherited, Madam, this responsibility. We are still keen to receive those answers to those questions, so that we are able to complete our report. Now, I'm sure the safest thing you would say is that you're not privy to the questions, that we ask at the time. You will search for them, but I think the positive aspect for me is that at least the acting group CEO has changed roles, and he should have some list of those questions so for us to be able to deal with it. That will help us to understand all the other things. And in it, the question that the other members are asking, including about irregular awarding, the board awarding themselves additional budget of extra meeting, and you called it, you'll be accused soon of being a board that is a functional board. Then this board was that previous board deliberately sat in a meeting and decided to have the functional board. So your story is going to be different because you are not, you are actually making sure that things happen and process. You're not going to be accused by us at least. This one, it was reported to us that we are functional. We have 5 members here who are going to be full time, which we challenge, but of course we did not get around stopping it. So, Chair, if we can maybe get that, we did ask the question to the minister, was unable to provide us an answer to this question, that some of the investigation with respect to what is alleged today is a state capture. At the time, the suggestion was that it should be given to the Hawks. It should be integrated in the Hawks so that the Hawks and Treasury cooperate, save money from paying the private law firm, rather the state carry out some of those investigations because they have more legal authority. The question that we're skeptic about is that the private entity does not have the authority that the state entity has in terms of the Hawks, insofar as the investigation is concerned. So we're still keen, Chair and other board members, to receive at least an indication from you as to how many of those investigation or allegations has been now been consolidated with the Hawks, and what is, of course, the 80%, 70% complete in terms of the investigation. At the time, I can complete the sentence by saying, at the time, we detected there was some reluctancy from the board to hand over some of the investigation for the Hawks to investigate. They preferred the route of Bergsman to investigate those cases. Now, just to complete the picture, and I'm mindful, Chair, that these are new questions. You may not necessarily have prepared around them today, but if they can be recorded, and then we can get some answers to them when you next meet on the 7th, so that at least you can work at the time frame for submission to the secretary of the committee, so that maybe in January when you return, fresh from holiday, I'm saying we, the question we have been responded to by the 7th, if the 7th board meeting happens. I think the speed is going to be key, advocate, because you did say something that worries me, that you are appointed, it can end as you walk out of the door, because the appointment is just not time bound, so you are interim. So before at least you advocate, if you can steer the ship, that the desk, the incoming tray with all these questions get cleared up so that we get some of our responses. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Honourable Musinga, you wanted to say something?
I have a lot to say.
Before I give to the advocate.
Chair, I just want to emphasise again, because I think the dates is also very important for Advocate Makubela to fully understand the rest of the board members. To fully understand and appreciate our anxiousness because nearly to a day from today, a year ago, in fact on the 29th of November 2016, we were addressed by the then acting chief CEO, Collins Letswalo, who then informed us at that meeting that the scope of the forensic audit in fact widened. It widened to include a number of 24 billion rands in contracts. So it's from then that we are aware of something under investigation. So at the same meeting, he then admitted the collapsing systems, specifically around procurement practices, which put us in a state of big worry, because at the end of the day, it impedes on decision-making structures, which then limits all sorts of things. At the end of the day, impedes on the service, has an effect on the service at grassroots level. Then, at that time, we were aware of AG reports to amount of 13.9 billion rands of irregular expenditure and more or less 250 million rands of fruitless and wasteful expenditure, which was attached to that. So it was also then mentioned at that particular meeting on the 29th of November last year that there were suspicious deals of 13.9 million and which would be investigated. But the shocking revelation at that meeting was that the scope of meeting in number escalated to nearly double, in fact, 24 billion. Since then, we are waiting. And I just wanted to add that, Chair, to explain our anxiousness around this.
Thank you. As indicated by Honorable Ramatlakana, most of the questions are new questions, which we don't anticipate you to respond to in this meeting, but can come back in written form, advocate, if you can respond to some of the issues that have been raised.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I'll start with what Honorable Khadele said, but it ties to the gist of the questions or issues that causes anxiety amongst the committee. We do not require permission from Vertma to release a report that we have commissioned. But the issue that I was pointing out is that I think in the last paragraph of the letter I said the report has been given to me as the chairperson. And I must now share it with everybody else. But when you read a report, before I start to read a report, I must first ensure that I have with me all the, I would call them procedural documents. And in the answer that we're going to give in writing, before I read a report, I want to the letter of appointment, I want to see the terms of reference, the scope of work, and most importantly, the appointment process. That's what I would want to have. And the questions that you are raising, it looks like maybe we have telepathy. It's the same kind of issues that I want to address. That will be in a report that we are going to submit to you. Those are the issues that we are going to deal with in the meeting next week, because we do not want to work on speculation. We also read newspapers. We are members of the community, and we do not want to cast aspersions on Vertma or any entity that has been appointed by Strata. We want to have hard facts and bring to this committee so you can first have peace of mind or confirm your suspicions or what you have heard, that indeed this is true or not true before you go into the content of the report. So that's questions regarding the appointment, how that appointment was done, whether it was in terms of procedure, and how much has been paid, the terms of reference, if the scope was widened. Those are things that Parliament legitimately must be given by BRASA so that you can take that to Parliament for. So all those questions we are going to answer in writing, and Mr. Zide, I don't know if you will be able to answer, because there are things that happened when he was in the previous role about the long list of questions that were given about the investigation. The report that I'm giving, they are those three that I have indicated. And we are going to answer, as I said, that we have requested a report from each and every functional that has been directed by the PP to do certain things, how those things were done, and if not, why not, then we'll answer to that. We hope to get the responses during the course of next week. That was the gist of the question, Honorable Chairperson. You referred to the service level agreement, you referred to the terms of reference. Honorable Khadere talked about the outcome, the exact money paid, and that will be in our written answer, but we will also answer in writing on what the minister has reported with regard to oversight by the previous minister on this investigation. That will give a routine answer. And we will also, I will ask Mr. Zide to answer about the 7 million deal that was signed when there was no board. And we will also answer what the former acting GCEO has addressed you about the extended scope that will be dealt with in the answer about the terms of reference, if the scope was extended, how, and everything. And most importantly, about the many investigations, we will answer. We've already requested information that at some point there must be convergence with regard to the investigation. Some contracts that were either stopped or cancelled. So how all this converge into, we are going to answer to all those questions. The issue about our status, as well, the term we are called interim, not existing. Interim board, there could be a difference between acting and interim. I think there is a difference when you are acting and when you are interim. When you are interim, you are full with full powers. With full powers, and I believe even when acting, you know, unless if the powers in terms of which you were appointed exclude
the same thing. If I'm appointed president of this country, I believe there could be some reservation of powers that the president, and I can only think of one now, to declare war. So when he goes next week, he will appoint me, but then he'll tell me, you can do this, but not to declare war with. So, but our appointment as interim board, we are a board with full powers. There is a compact, there is a board charter that from which we derive powers. The compact is that the agreement between the board, which is now us, and the shareholder, and then the board charter is our family. That's how we understand. So, and that's how we are working. There's nothing that we are not authorized to. There has been no reservation of powers by our principal. Then the other thing, other than...
Excuse me, Jane, just a quick question of clarity. In light of what the advocate just mentioned, I'm just inquisitive whether she's declaring herself available for the December conference.
I thought that you were going to ask if you want to go to Zimbabwe and maybe deputize Mnangagwa. Well, Honorable Committee, I've already answered the call to the bench. That's where I'm going. Thank you. Let me just see what I have not responded to. All the Bertman issues arising from the Bertman, the appointment of service providers, we are going to deal with, not just Bertman, in the written answer. And then let me see, from Honorable Rasina, I'll tell you. The directive from this committee, I saw that letter that Honorable Member Crowley has directed investigation of state capture. And I did answer that. It may be the use of weight, but we accepted since the release of the false state capture, issues of corruption in government and state entities are called state capture. But when you read that report, PRASA is not mentioned. Because that report is about the relationship between the president and one family, and then maybe how it then feels over to the administration of state entities. And accepting that state capture is how the way to do it, because we don't want to be technical. We say when you read the PP's report and the AG, there has been capture by it may not be by a family or that mentioned in the state capture report, you know, because one may confuse things. Capture by any person it is capture. You know. I gave an example of one former homeland leader who built gallows in his homeland, because the reason he said he didn't want his people to be killed in Pretoria, he wants to kill them himself. So it is still killing. So it could be Prata was captured, but not by that family that is referred to in the report, but by the employees themselves or the contractors So we, that's how we deal with it. We're not going to be technical and say we don't have such a thing. We are going to also so to answer your question, Honourable, we have no framework as a board. It's a full money. And Honourable Sibasa, the issue about contracts like Vestmas that were not properly appointed, I dealt with that. We say those are issues of looking at the public protector has raised certain concerns about the supply chain, and those are the issues that are being addressed, and certain directives were given. The issue about the grants going to the provinces, I will ask one of my colleagues to respond if they can just move mentally. If they are not able to respond today, they can, we can put it in writing. The issue of the money received by the previous board, Mr. Zide, I think he has already responded, but he will respond in writing. Honorable Ramatakani, the issue of the many investigations, have dealt with it. We are going to address that. The issue of the PRASA budget, there's no item legal fees, and then it's not clear where investigators are appointed, where the money comes from. The CFO will respond in writing if since you know that if it has been addressed. It, because it also talks to the issue of appointment of investigators under which category they are appointed. And because there are different requirements. If you appoint an attorney, the instruction is to either defend or institute or give an opinion. There's certainty there. If you appoint a forensic investigator, it would have been after they have made a proposal with budget and it being approved. But in the context of what we are talking about, it will come after that we are going to give it right. The question of devolution of functions to Metro, my colleague, I've noted it here. If no one is able to answer today, it will be one of those that will answer in writing. And the investigation of National Treasure, indicated that I was advised it is complete. I have been given a summary of the findings, but we do not complete is a relative term. It's only when you read that maybe you find that there are issues still to be investigated. But we will deal with that. Then the issue of money paid to the previous board that Mr. Zide will answer. Then the issue of the Hawks taking over at some point. I'm going to respond in writing. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Can I ask my team if there's any of the issues there that I did not respond to that they want to respond? Otherwise, the rest will be written in writing.
Are you okay?
I am very okay, and just to make more emphasis, there were some issues around the advertising of homes and homes. That is a very critical issue which is under my jurisdiction and chairing the Human Resources Committee. And we are undertaking to do a thorough skills audit. Having seen all this, irregularities. We just want to make sure that each position is having the right expertise, making sure that there shouldn't be an excuse of saying this person did not know this and this. And the burning issue here is about supply chain. We need to make sure that whoever is equipped with, you know, whoever is assigned to a position is responding accordingly and is having the right qualifications to perform within that position. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
No, sir.
Okay.
I think we've covered everything.
Mr. Manlevi.
Okay, thank you, Chair. I will respond on the policy matter, which is a departmental one on the devolution. I will take the matter to the acting director general, the accounting officer, and the matter will be responded to in writing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Mr. Zide.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just respond to the four issues that I think I noted that the chair said I must just respond to. The first one, Honorable Humsinga, at a particular point when there was a vacuum on the 15th of September this year, a particular journalist working for the Mail and Guardian wrote a story that Borderless Plaza, with the headlines, has inked a deal, $57 billion deal with China. So we were in the habit of not responding to these issues of media. But I took a time because at a point in the streets people were just saying, it looks like you are more powerful than the family. So I wrote to the editor of the Mail and Guardian, and I told the editor of the Mail and Guardian that you can do a carte blanche on me and produce the contract that has been signed. And in the event that you would not be able to produce that contract, please retract that article and offer an apology to Prasa. So indeed, Chair, on the 27th of October, very deep into the various pages of the Mail and Guardian, a small portion, and I keep it at least on my phone, there is an apology. Prasa did not sign $57 billion deal. In the article in the September 15 and September 22 editions of Mail and Guardian, Borderless Prasa inks $57 billion deal, and Edward Jungle's take the highway. We reported that Prasa had signed a $57 billion deal with the Chinese bank to develop the Mloto Corridor. We have now confirmed that neither Prasa nor the Department of Transport, which is the lead on the Mloto Corridor project, signed such a deal. In our reporting, we add in that we placed an over-reliance on information gained from other publications. We apologize unreservedly for the error. So to the extent that there is a lingering of a contract that Prasa had signed during the vacuum, the record is there from the Merit Gazette. The second issue, Chair, is the issue that was raised by Honorable Ramatlakane, the DOAs to the metros. We will write a report on the work that has been done since the last meeting and encounter with the portfolio committee. Insofar as some of those questions, Honorable Ramatlakane, the long list, you would recall that on the 8th of March, when the board was here, they had started to respond to some of those questions, but that meeting was adjourned, but at the end of the adjournment of that meeting, the board was dissolved. And so there are those questions that are there, and I will engage with the chair in respect of them as a successor in terms of those issues. In respect of the money paid to the previous board, you'd recall again, Honorable Ramatlakane, that you reported that the chair paid, the previous board chair, had paid the full amount. And of course, the other directors did, even at that portfolio committee meeting, advise the PCOT that they will deal with the matter with the minister, and that some of the directors did say that there won't be. So it is a matter that the directors felt that they would deal with it with the minister. Thank you, Chair.
Honorable Bumsinga, Honorable Khadebe,
Thank you, Chair. In light of the clarification around the 57 billion that was assigned, I missed this small correction and deeper into the phases of what you mentioned. Brings me to add on question around that. In that space that you call the vacuum period of absent board in terms of having that in place, were any other deals signed?
Chair, let me respond directly. There weren't any deals that were signed by Prasa between the 1st of August and the 19th of October when the interim board was appointed.
Honorable
Hey, Chair. This copy of DA are fake, they've got fake news. But it's okay. No, Chair. I just.
The copies are dead.
Of DA. The one that give fake news. No, Chair. I wanted to follow up. Is it Chair? One of the other members. Remember, I mean, they are in the portfolio committee that is going to be. I wanted to follow up on that particular individual member, whether did that member pay or he still didn't pay. Because if he didn't pay the board, please summon the Hawks to follow up that member. He must pay back the money. Did the member pay, Mr. Elke?
No, the member did not pay, Chair.
Honorable Khadebe, let's be serious here. On the matters of the portfolio committee, I wanted to indicate that advocate that there are so many things that we believe we still are owed answers from Prasa by the previous board, and what we will do through the committee secretary, we will just go into our archives and then take out the issues that we have requested from Prasa, which were never responded to, and resubmit to your good selves so that we can be able to get some of the critical answers that we were looking for. I thought there were other issues that you wanted to respond to. You're done.
Yes. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I am done.
Honorable Mshinga.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I am under the impression up to this stage that at some stage there was an handover of certain investigations to the Hawks. That is the impression I have. And therefore, Chair, I would want this committee then to consider the Hawks to appear before the committee. Because certainly we need clarity on a couple of things. We need to know what the progress is in terms of investigations, apart from getting detail, which we understand would be sub judice, etc., etc. But the most important thing is, Chair, we are dealing here with a very stretched out process of investigation of which the status remains unknown and in the shadows, if you would excuse that expression. Because there was specific mention that needs to be addressed by the public prosecutor. So we need to know what Bergsman did. We need to know what of what Bergsman did was handed over to the Hawks. And further on, what is the balance and how that would be handled. Because surely, all in all, what the public prosecutor emphasized in the report is a limited amount of issues and allegations that through the union was brought to the public prosecutor's table. There might be a lot more, and therefore this board should never see their function as only limited to what was said in the public prosecutor's report. The accountability and the responsibility therefore goes a lot wider, because at the end of the day, we want FRASA's credibility to be established again as a responsible and an accountable institution with the board, the CEO, and everybody else. So therefore, lastly, Chair, I think it's very important that we say this officially, that it's really important that we get rid of all these acting roles. We want to see an appointed CEO, an appointed CFO, an appointed board, so that we can reconfirm the credibility of this really important institution. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mshinga, Honorable Ramatlakane.
No, Chair, I think that the trustee said add on. We're asking the board to give us a feedback on number of issues, including some investigations. Some of the investigations are done by Treasury, some are done by Bergsman, some are done by Hawk. Perhaps we should be calling an all-in kind of meeting. The board would be part of that meeting. So that the agency that is doing the work on behalf of the board, from the board, investigation, that we're all in the same room in terms of report on what has already been done and what is still to be done. Now, we need to finalize our report. I'm more worried about finalizing our report so that we submit our part. So I think we should say, and I'm adding what Honorable was suggesting, that perhaps we need to have a kind of a broader meeting where Treasury could speak for themselves, not via the board, and let me told. The Treasury can answer that, we can answer it. So I think we should have that kind of meeting. I'm trying to suggest, Chair, that it's actually bigger than just one component. Obviously, that's going to be now, unfortunately, next year, basically a year from now. So that's the way I look at it.
Thank you, Ramatlakane. I think we definitely would want to meet FRASA when the committee week starts next year as one of the first things that we have to finalize. But probably the secretary will be able to indicate the critical things that members have raised here that we would expect you to really collate into a proper report that we can be able to engage with next year when we resume activities of Parliament. So basically, I think let me give it to Advocate Maluleke, your last word for today before we close the meeting.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, and members of your committee for your closing words about a broader meeting and explanation by the various parties. We will support that. And Chair, I have indicated that in the next week or two, we are having meetings to answer all these questions and many questions. And I commit this board that we are going to make the report available to you. Even if it comes after your request, but then you will be able to introduce so when you comment the new meeting, you will have our report, so we do not start all over in 2020, but you will get our report before our board meeting is on 13 December. I know we will be gone by then, but we are going to write a report and send it through. As to when it reaches you, I do not know, but so that is when we have our answers. And thank you for giving us this opportunity. And having come here today, I realized that it is important to appear and not to simply send a letter, because you may think the issues are you just answer in one line in a letter, but we need engagement, and that's what we are committing ourselves to. On behalf of my team, we appreciate the opportunity, and then
thank you, Advocate and your team, Dr. Spiepers, Professor Maluleke, Mr. Maluleke, Mr. Zidane, the acting CFO. I just did not want to raise it that the interim board is surrounded by the actors as if you are in Hollywood. Be that as it may, I'm happy because on behalf of the team, we'll say we have an indication from Professor Maluleke that there's going to be a skills audit, and you will definitely be trying to fill the posts that are vacant with the skilled personnel. That is what we would really appreciate. You've got a lot of work to do, from looking into matters of service delivery here in Cape Town. I have not as yet sent you the emails that we're getting on a daily basis from the commuters here in Cape Town complaining about the service delivery, which actually leaves much to be desired. Trains have been banned. I think 2-3 days ago there was a banning train in Woodstock. Goodwood, somewhere there, Central City, an indication that you have less in terms of coaches. When you look at what has been trending a few weeks ago, you see people outside the train, some of them on top, which is a hazard that you faced with, because we expect reliable, safe, if and affordable transport, public transport, and you are part of that affordable public transport in the main. So we, our anticipation is that you will move with speed to make sure that the trains in Gauteng, also here in Salt River, where there's a lot of trains which have the coaches that have been banned, are refurbished, but also move with speed to make sure that we there are sufficient locomotives that can be able to haul those coaches. There has been challenges of signaling, and we believe that we will also move with speed. To me, these are the service deliverables that we can be able to say when we talk that there is service delivery, which will impact positively on the socio-economic issues. You are but one of those which actually we believe will be able to deal with that, because when people get arrive late at work, it impacts negatively onto the economy of the Republic, which actually impacts negatively onto a number of things, the ripple effects of the trains that are not in good condition really goes a long way. But I want to also say, Advocate Makubele, on behalf of the portfolio committee team transport here, we really appreciate an indication of the things that you have tapped yourself to be doing. We are looking forward to getting your action plan. We're also looking forward to getting your strategy as to how you will be dealing with the issues that have been raised. We are of the opinion that when we call you in the not-so-distant future, we should be able to say it looks like now BRASA is starting to deal effectively with the issues. I would really plead with yourselves, because that is what we saw with the erstwhile board, that their major focus was not on service delivery, but it was for 2 years we were fighting with them. I'm just looking at some of the issues. For 3 years to be precise, from 2014 when they came into being, and they started operating, they were more focused on the investigations, and that to us, we were saying investigate, but try to every time remind yourself that it is about public transport, which me and you rarely use, but which the majority of South Africans need for survival. It is about that. For sure, the last time Mekandia passed, Mekandia Stimela, was many moons ago. You every day are using cars, which actually, Mekandia Stimela. So we asking ourselves as to and pleading with you that we need feel the impact of your presence. Honorable Humsinga has indicated that he is elated because the board has got knowledgeable people in terms of transport issues, and we are looking forward that as this interim board, we can be able to tap some information from yourself, and we should be able to stand tall and say it is happening in BRASA, the negativity that BRASA was looked at, because every time the media speaks to us, they're not speaking about the good things that BRASA is doing. We would want to see the trains as promised by the minister, because he indicated that there's 8 billion which is targeted to the Western Cape. Would want to see those things happening like yesterday. Would like to see
a whole lot of refurbishment happening, whether it's on the railway track, whether it's signaling, whether it's traction. Would like to see those things happening yesterday so that it can be able to impact positively onto our commuters. On behalf of the portfolio committee, would really say this is the beginning. You see, one thing about this portfolio committee is when you do good things, we definitely will applaud you. But when you start Honorable Husi, when you start mushikashika, this portfolio committee will show you what it is made of. And we really applaud the fact that you haven't started doing those things that will rattle the portfolio committee to an extent that we even forget what our key focus was all about. We're happy about the explanation that you gave to us in terms of the reasons why there are delays in terms of the submission of your report, and we're looking forward to engaging with your report. And as we will be bringing you next year, probably we believe that we will deal with the outstanding issues, but we hope that the annual report will already be here so that we are able to deal with the issues. We'll still come back to you on the state of state capture. We will still come back to you because in terms of what the directives from Parliament was saying was to engage the derailed report, issues that the Auditor General has highlighted, and other things that, as you indicated rightfully, advocate that as members of the portfolio committee, as members of the public, resident in our own areas, there's always things which actually are being said about this entity. So these are the things that Parliament wanted us to deal with. We have already done a massive work because we've got a state document from 2014. We've been dealing with issues of RASA and highlighting several things in our report. That is why you see us saying, come and give us progress to date on in different ways. And we believe that really we will be able to start shaping RASA in a positive light because where there is positivity in everything that you do, it will impact even onto the functionaries in PRASA, because probably now, because of this negativity which is on air, they really, many of them, are very reluctant and really takes a laser spray in terms of executing their tasks. There may be some elements which are not good, but we would say that we believe that there are elements in PRASA in terms of functionalities that have got what it takes. And we believe with the approach that you are having, we definitely will be able to take PRASA to a higher trajectory. On that note, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee, we thank you, and the meeting is adjourned for them, for PRASA. The meeting is adjourned. We can recuse you, and then we will deal with the other matter as raised by Honorable Humsinga.
Chair, I wanted to say Masibonge Igama lamakhosikazi. Thank you.